Welcome off this party podcast. We're pretty stoked about this one. This is a good one. This is a guest we've been trying to nail down for a while. Gimlet, you have any idea who's on the show today?
I do, but you don't want to tell everybody?
Okay, I will. You got me. We got Greg Gutfeld on the show. Mr. Greg Gutfeld is going to be joining us. So this is going to be a fun one. We got a lot on tap. So let's jump in. It's another beautiful day in the Loftus Party neighborhood. My apologies to who's the beautiful day in the neighborhood guy?
Mr. Rogers.
I totally couldn't think of Mr. It's my apologies to Mr. Rogers. It is a beautiful day in the Loftus Party podcast neighborhood. I say that because I'm faking it. It's not a beautiful day. I gotta try to put out that positive energy. You know what I'm talking about, Gimlet? We gotta try to put out those positive vibes. But let me tell you, it's tough. Some days are tougher than others. So we're gonna have a great podcast today. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Sometimes I'm stupid and I wait to the end. Thanks for being here. I legit mean that. So here's what we got going on. There's so much going on in today's show. Oh my gosh, that was very Hannity adjacent. A very busy news night. Breaking news. I wonder if anybody's ever said that to Hannity. That every show can't be. Well, I guess it can be. Okay, so here's what I got on my list of stuff that we want to talk about. These are my priorities in the biggest one. The top of my list is the whole Hunter Biden, Bill Barr, Tony Bublinski, the media and big tech and all that stuff. We got to get into that. And then we got to get into the current situation with Senior Donald Trump, the president of the United States. What's going on there? We might talk about Dominion voting, the Supreme Court, the election, blah, 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 blah. We got to talk about COVID, the lockdowns, what happened in D.C. over the weekend. I want to talk a little bit about Hanukkah. I want to talk a little bit about Christmas. I want to talk some Mandalorian and Disney Plus. I know I sent you a link, Stacy, from Disney Plus's big announcement.
And you did?
You didn't see that link that I sent you?
I did.
Yeah. I thought you're going to be righteously stoked. Here's the deal, you guys. Gimlet's got the hots for Tom Hiddleston.
Just when he plays Loki.
Just when he's Loki. Okay, so here's the question.
Character Loki.
So here's the question.
So hard to be good.
Here's the question. All right, now in this scenario, you're not married. You're single, right? You're single. You've been working all day. You come home. You just poured yourself a nice stiff drink and knock, knock, knock. Someone knocks on the door. You open it up. It's Tom Hiddleston, just dressed in like jeans and a t-shirt like he regularly would be. And you're like, you close the door on him. You're like, no, thank you. Right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Same scenario.
It's the character.
Same scenario. You're home, you have a drink, you're like feeling a little bit sad and blue, and you're like, oh, I'm a little lonely. And then knock, 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 and then you open the door, there's Loki. What are you going to do?
Probably run away, because he tries to be good and he fails.
Okay, all right, we'll get into that more later. I find that very funny. Because I tell you what, that's the difference between men and women, right? Like if you go, okay, Michael, here's the scenario. You're single. You're in your apartment. You just came home. You're a little sad, a little lonely. You just had a nice big drink. Knock, knock, knock. There's Gal Gadot. I'd be like, does she want to bang? Now, would I prefer her in the Wonder Woman costume? Sure, you bet. But in both scenarios.
I think you misinterpret.
I guess I don't understand. Do you want
No, of all the characters in that Marvel universe, he's my favorite. It's the character.
Right, but like I'm telling
I love his story. It's not about the way the character looks. I mean, if you were gonna say who the best looking guy in that whole thing is, it's
who do you
want
to bang? Who do you want to bang? Like, if you could bang any one of them, who do you want to bang? That's where I'm coming from.
I just don't think that way.
You've got to. We got to find that gear. We got to find that gear. Because I tell you,
they
with
don't
me,
have that gear.
With me, if it's between Black Widow and Scarlet Witch, I'm going Black Widow the whole time. The whole time. All day long. See, it's like a
Scarlet
no-brainer.
Witch better because I like the character better.
You know what? You know what it is? It's her background of, it's that sadness. Both of those, both Loki and Scarlet Witch have a lot of sadness in their background. Okay, this isn't, I find this incredibly interesting. This would be the podcast. I'd go totally nerd. However, we'll save the nerd stuff for later. We're gonna jump into some politics here in the opening segment. Here's my big, and it's gonna be the Bill Barr of it all. The Bill Barr, the big media, tech, and some things are just beyond the beyond. Like, I cannot believe that we're here in this environment. So I gotta learn how to accept the current situation, which to me, and I got a lot going on in my life, a lot going on with the Loftus Party right now that is, and I hate this feeling, you guys, and you might be experiencing it to a certain degree, probably are. If you're, when something has upset you and it's like completely beyond your control, and that's what the whole Hunter Biden laptop story is. It's so sinister. It's so sinister and that it's hard for me to believe. Now, did it happen? When I say did it happen, so the Hunter Biden laptop story broke. The New York Post did some background. The director of national intelligence said this has no hallmarks of Russian disinformation. And then from my personal experience and from working on the Loftus Party for a couple of years now, I knew about what Hunter did in 2016 with leaving the rental car out in the desert, you know, and leaving the white powdery substance and the badges and the driver's license and the credit cards and all this stuff. It's like he wants to get in trouble. He wants to get caught. So the whole laptop story to me, it made perfect sense. It made perfect sense. A guy with a big time drug problem screws up his computer. I'll just take it to this laptop repair place. And then he just forgets about it, leaves it. There was nothing about that. Nothing about that that said Russian disinformation. And then the way big tech actively killed that story. And I remember we talked about it here on the cast. We talked about it. I'm like, if they can drag Joe Biden across the finish line, if they can just kill this story and blah, blah, blah. And they had, because normally, I have a bunch of friends on the other side of the aisle. I got a bunch of, you know, comedians who are buddies of mine. They're Democrats, they're liberals. And when you bring up the Hunter Biden story back in the days leading up to the election, they're like, oh, yeah, that's Russian disinformation. That's Russian stuff. That's Russian stuff. And they had CNN backing them up. And they had Twitter saying you can't share that. And you have Facebook saying you can't share that. And you've got warnings on tweets. And no, no, no. It's Russian disinformation. And the story became big tech just censoring. Oh, no. Big tech censored a paper. Big tech censored a paper. And the story was not, holy crap, look at what this family is doing. And then even when Tucker Carlson had that Tony Bublinski guy, who's going to be, I guess, was on over the weekend again. And he's got that guy, and the guy's got stacks of evidence and text messages. The seed had been planted that, oh, it's Russian disinformation. So everyone just discounted it. And now here we are. And you can be cutesy all you want and go, they always accuse you of what they're doing. They always accuse you of what they're doing. They accused Donald Trump of getting help from the Russians, but they were getting... I don't care about that. I don't care about, ooh, look at that. Isn't that interesting how they always accuse you? I don't care. So we're not going to dig into that. That's just, in my opinion, it's just a bullshit waste of time. What do we do? what do we do? And then it's so odd that it was the transition team that brought out, I guess they tried to get out in front of it, you know, the Biden-Harris transition team going, oh yeah, Hunter Biden is in, you know, some trouble with, you know, with
his taxes.
With his taxes, and the Department of Justice has been looking at this since 2018. Yep. And then, so I guess Bill Barr, I guess legally he can't do anything. He can't, you know, he can't go, hey, just, because when the story came out and everybody's calling it Russian disinformation, isn't that the time when someone from the Department of Justice says, well, he is under investigation? Maybe they did. Maybe it got.
You know, well, no, because the New York Times or New York Post did report that there was an open investigation on Hunter Biden when they did all the initial reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And that got buried. Like, when it came out a couple days ago, I went back and grabbed the Post article, and I'm like, oh, CNN's so cute. They're just 45 days late.
Oh my gosh! There was one. What's her name? Hemingway from the
Molly?
Federalist. Molly Hemingway. Somebody had a tweet. Some it was like Politico or somebody, some big one. They were like, "Hey, you know, some aspects of this story came out in the weeks leading up to the election, but went mostly unnoticed." Look, unnoticed.
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 Well, I mean, no, but. It did go largely unnoticed for a significant percent of the population that watches NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, NPR, reads the New York Times, reads the Washington Post. It did go completely unnoticed. Media Research Center literally did a survey of Biden voters. 30% of them had never heard the story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is so shocking to me and such a.
Well, that's because we're on the right.
But I know. And it's such a horrible reality. So here we are. Let's, and for the sake of this discussion, we're going to put all election fraud and all that talk to the side. We're going to say, for the sake of this discussion, everything's legit. 80 million people voted for Joe Biden, who possibly, and looks like, for all intents and purposes, like there was some shady business dealings with the Ukraine. There was some shady business dealings with China. Mm-hmm. And when China's propping up your son like that, and the Ukraine's propping up your son like that, and things are going on, they can twist your arm.
Did you see the video from the Chinese professor?
Oh, that was the one that had me jumping off the couch. That had me jumping. I'm not even kidding you. I'm here in my little abode on the East Coast, and I'm watching Tucker Carlson. And if you guys haven't seen this, I've got it at theloftusparty.com. And I had to fix the story. I had to fix the story thrice, meaning three. They kept taking down the video. The video kept getting deleted from YouTube. And then finally, I put in a link to the Fox News story. But here's what it is, and here's what the Gimlet brings up. There's a what was the guy? An economist? Chinese economist, dude?
He's a professor and clearly a member of the Chinese Communist Party, or he would not have that position.
Yeah.
So he's a professor of economics at one of China's top universities in Beijing.
Yeah. So in the video, and you guys can go to loftusparty.com and see this. It's a TV show. The whole thing's being broadcast. He's on stage. There's, you know, learned Chinese people sitting behind him, and there's an audience full of people in masks. You know, it's somewhere in China, and the whole thing is done in, their native tongue. But he's kind of bragging that, like, hey.
Oh, he was, and the audience was laughing?
Oh, and applauding? Yeah, we got a good thing going. with the United States. Of course, I'm paraphrasing for comedic sake. We got to try to laugh at some of this. But he's like, yeah, we used to have a good thing going on with the United States. We would settle our problems in a smooth, easy way. We had economic, you know, things we could do. We got people at the top. We get the people at the top levels of the U.S. government bragging. People at the top levels of the U.S. government. And Wall Street. And by proxy, the media, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he goes, then comes Donald Trump. We couldn't do anything about that. That was a big, we couldn't do the things the same way. That was a pretty much saying that Trump was the fly in the ointment. Trump was stopping their big plans. And then he goes, but now we have Joe Biden. And everybody laughs. They all laugh.
I know. And he basically said out loud, Trump accused Biden's son of having these foundations. Who do you think built those foundations?
Oh, yes. We have people at the top. So here we are. So here we are. And this is our reality that Joe Biden could very well be freaking compromised. How is he going to be? How can he possibly treat China? How can he possibly stand up for what's right when his son is on the hook for all this? And it's very, very bad. And for the media and big tech to go after and sway this election the way they did. And I know, you know, Google had talked about it, you know, for a long time. And there was people from Google and saying, yeah, we could swing, you know, tens of millions of votes, which in whichever direction we want to. So what do we do now? What do we do? Because it's not, and it's, this is the thing, the other frustrating thing, because it bleeds over into everything. I mean, it is Facebook, it is Twitter, it is Google, it is the media, it is CNN. And for people just to go, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm going over to Ding Dong Doobie. That's right, do my social media. Like that doesn't help anything, because then the echo chamber has even less pushback, and there's even less a search for truth. So, what do you think?
If you look at the history of both Facebook and Twitter, it was new media that built those platforms. So it was places like Breitbart. It was the Dana Leshes from The Blaze.
Yes.
They built those platforms. When
right.
those people move, guess who else moves? The left. Because the left can't leave us unsupervised. They want to know what we're saying. That's why a bunch of them joined Parler.
Yes. I mean, I'm on
they
Parler.
They just aren't successful in getting us taken down. And I think if after the election, President Trump picks one or two of those alternative platforms, Twitter and Facebook are just going to die.
Well, I just think
because they can't leave him alone either. But
it'll just get diluted into different, instead of having one big swimming pool or two big swimming pools that are Facebook and Twitter, you'll now have seven little swimming pools. Okay, well, here's the two big ones are still Facebook and Twitter. There's one over here called Parler. Oh, there's one that's called MeWe. There's a little one over there called Gab. Oh, there's one over here called Bling Blorp. Oh, then there's one back. It'll just get, I don't know. I don't know the solution. I really don't.
I mean, there is no exchange of ideas now. I'm actively suppressed on Twitter and Facebook. We were talking about it before the show. You're actively suppressed on Twitter and Facebook. So the opportunity for someone to trip across you accidentally on those platforms has exponentially decreased.
Not only has Facebook done that, where they've put a restriction. They go, your account is restricted. You can't advertise for posting false news. And you cannot see the example. They will not send you the examples of here's where you went wrong. So not only have they restricted, someone sent me a message going, hey, I tried to join. I tried to follow the page. And there's a warning up. Before you can like or follow the leftist party on Facebook, you might want to see what they're posting. And then he clicked okay, and then they still didn't show anything. So
well,
it's like they just want to have that warning on there.
They have that on the outlet I write for. They have that on the Daily Wire. They have that on Bongino. They have that on all the right-wing outlets now.
Well, guess what else they're doing? They're disappearing about 10 people a night. When I wake up in the morning, I'll look at the numbers. We had like 33,888 a week ago. We're now down to 33,770. They disappear people at 10 at a time overnight. Then you just wake up and you're like, oh, I guess I don't know what to do other than just repeatedly reach out to Facebook and try to, but there's no interaction. There's no interaction with Twitter. It's madness. It's absolute madness.
Well, and that's why I'm like, I don't know what you do except to try to build your network on one of these alternative platforms.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, that's what I'm going to do because I can't sit idly by. Holy crap. And then in the meantime, this is funny. YouTube sends me an email like going, you had a great year. You're doing awesome. You're a good creator. Look at all the likes you got. Look at all the new subscribers you got. You're doing a great job. And then in the meantime, I'm putting up videos and they have a new thing in the creator studio. Cause a lot of times there's keywords they listen for. If you say the word Trump, they will automatically demonetize you. I learned that a long time ago. So I always call them the Donald, you know? So now you can see, did the AI look at your video to see if it was okay for advertisers or if a person looked at it? Because sometimes they'll demonetize a video and I'll request a review. And they'll go, oh, Oops, are bad. Upon further review, yeah, you can have advertisers on this. I go out of my way. See, that's the thing that bugs me about this. I go out of my freaking way to play by their bullshit rules. So anyway, I'm putting up a video on Friday. And I can see that, like, they're not using the AI on me anymore. It's all exclusively people. And I put up a video about how much fraud is okay. I was just asking the hypothetical question. Are we cool with any amount of fraud? Blah, blah, blah. Election, this, that. They demonetize that. So now they've taken me out of the, we're not going to let the AI listen. We're going to have a person on you every time you upload a video. It's terrifying. So I guess we just go to other platforms.
I mean, I just, the network is the thing, but I don't know how else you do it.
Oh my gosh. Listen to this one. I'll do one more little scary story. There will be some optimism here. We're just kind of bitching here in the opening segment. I'll finish out this segment with this one. We rebuilt the website, theloftistparty.com. I love it. It's great. It looks great. It's easy to navigate. It's better on your phone, all the stuff. And we're still making improvements as we go. So years ago, Gimlet, when you and I started the first and second iterations of theloftistparty.com, one of the things we did is we got qualified to advertise through Google. Google is now saying they can't find the website. They go, you got to fix some problems before we can put ads on there. We can't even see your website. So it's like every other Saturday. It's been now over a month where Google, they're like, we can't even evaluate your site to see if you're okay for ads because we can't even see your site. It is, I see villains everywhere. I see villains everywhere. Okay. We're going to talk about the election and what we're hearing and what we're not hearing. Because here, like, listen, after the Hunter Biden laptop story where everybody towed the line and they all lied, blah, 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 and they killed the story, I got to talk about the election. And we got to try to get to the bottom of some of this stuff. So stick around and we'll be back. Either way, guys, we're going to be back. We're always going to be a great show.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
We have that laughter you hear on the other end of the Skype audio thingy, Mahui, is Greg Gutfeld. Greg Gutfeld, I can't believe you're on the show. Thanks for being here, buddy.
I'm so happy to be here after screwing you over today, forgetting. And then the other time was during that hurricane.
Yes.
All my power went out, and I actually was hiding in my bathroom in the basement. It was crazy. I'm from the West Coast. I don't understand weather. Like, we don't have weather. So,
yeah, well, that's I grew up in Ohio, and my whole joke when I moved after I moved to California in like 99 was like, this is too much. There's no the problem with California is you can't predict anything. There's just going to be a wildfire. There's just going to be a mudslide. Then there's just going to be an earthquake. There's no warning. I like the East Coast. I like you get a warning. They're like, here comes a powerful storm that's going to kick your ass. You might want to hunker down now.
Yeah, but then in California, you won't get a warning, but then you'll have 8 years of drought and nothing. Just like nothing.
Right? They get you complacent. They get you feeling like, okay, I guess water's our only worry, and then they shake the planet that you're walking around on. Okay. we have a limited time here. Because I understand you're a very, very busy guy. You were probably doing a show last night. You probably had one of your big, famous Greg Gutfeld drive-in movie theater shows, right?
No, we postponed it. We were supposed to do North Carolina at, oh my God, is it North Carolina or South Carolina? I always get them confused. You know, just pick a state and be the state. Why North and South? Why do you do that? I just try to see. The thing is, it was at Columbia Speedway. Where is that? North Carolina? I'm insulting people right now. But anyway, they had to postpone it to COVID. So I was supposed to actually do it tonight in about 4 hours. And they decided that the mass gathering would not be a good idea. So that was postponed. I'm actually, you know, I'm okay with that because I would rather be safe than sorry. But it does bug me about the people who have to work for a living, who have to deal with this stuff, because it doesn't hurt me. I just go back to work.
Exactly. And, but what did you do instead? See, that was my little segue for you. So if you didn't do a show, what'd you get into? What does Greg Gutfeld do when he's not entertaining America?
So this weekend I had carved out to travel and I didn't have to travel. So my truck, I is at the mechanic. I bought a Defender, so I don't have a car. So I'm basically at my house up in in upstate New York. I went to the grocery store. This is very exciting stuff, Michael. I went to the grocery store. My idea of a grocery store is Walgreens, because when you're alone, my wife is actually in Russia because her mother was in the hospital with COVID. So my wife,
no.
She had a flight and her father had COVID, her sister had COVID. It was a nightmare. So she flew. So she's been there. So I've been on my own. And then I was quarantined for COVID at Fox, because as you know, a few people at Fox got COVID. So I'm here. I ended up shopping. I went to a nice little grill restaurant where my at in Ridgefield, Connecticut. And then I whipped out my electric guitar. I have a guitar that I play, but I haven't played in a while. So it's for some reason, everything is about the tuning and the sound of the guitar. And if you get that right, you can sound like Pete Townsend. It's like, I can't figure it out. There's something that I forgot how I can tune a guitar. I forgot how to get the right distortion. And that's driving me crazy.
Now, what kind of, here's the funny thing, but this is what I did. And this is why I wanted to kind of get into this. When the lockdown hit, cause I was in a band in high school.
Yeah.
We played a bunch of songs way too fast and badly. And then it was kind of like punk.
Yeah,
but
of course.
So now I'm like during the lockdown, I'm like, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to learn actually how to play these chords and all this stuff. And I did this and I get no money from these people. I wish I did. There's this app called Musician, Y-O-U-Zition. And it's the same people who made the app Guitar Tuna. And you got to get those. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. You're like, oh, my God.
Tell me about this. By the way, Musician, terrible name. But why do you like it? Because, okay, here's my thing. I'm going to tell you why. So I did the same thing you did. I actually really got pretty good. I bought a Godin, which is, I think, a guitar out of Mexico or Canada. I can't remember. Electric guitar. It's beautiful. It's as good as a Stratocaster. It's like, but $300. Anyway, so yeah. What I decided to do was I went on YouTube and I go, okay, what are the songs I want to learn? And like Blister in the Sun, Violent Femmes. I do that. And then I go, okay, now I want to do All Day and All the Night by the Kinks. What I realize that I'm not really learning anything. I'm just learning to mimic certain things, which is fine if you're 16 and you want to learn how to play like the Clash or whatever. But at this point in my life, you've got to kind of like learn the scales, right?
Yes.
You
got
to learn how to move everywhere and the scale. So I, so this is so funny. I realized that YouTube wasn't helpful. And there's this great guy that owns a music store in Connecticut. And he came over and he's the guy that I bought the guitar from. And he was like, just telling me like, here's what you need to do. But then that was one day before that frickin' hurricane. So he's like, so I'm like learning all the scales and different. So my whole thing is my issue with the guitar is I want to move up and down the neck. And what happens when you're learning is you get stuck in like the fifth fret, right?
Yeah.
Or the third fret.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what I mean? You're not really, but you know what? When you watch people that know what they're doing, they're moving up and down the fret. And that's all about the scales and getting comfortable. But here's the thing. I wanted to learn how to play thrash metal because a lot of the favorite music that I like now by the Melvins and Slayer and Mr. Bungle is the speed. When you've got the palm muting on the fret and you are going up and down and it's like, I can't do it. And I'm wondering if it's because I'm old and I can't learn. Like I don't, it's like me deciding to become an Olympic sprinter. Like I can't do it, but I look at what they're doing and I go, I know I can do this. I watched King Buzzo do my favorite song of all time is Honey Bucket. And
okay.
I watched him play the riffage. I'm going like, I know I can do that, but I can't. So it's like that. It drives you crazy. So my question is, what does Musician do for you? Because you said it's a lifesaver.
Okay. So here, this is the funny thing. But like a buddy of mine, when I was in high school, we were playing like Beatles songs, Rolling Stones. And a buddy of mine turned me on to the Clash and it literally like blew my mind. I had to pull the car over. So, but I never knew how anything worked. It's the same thing. I could make these noises, but I didn't know why. And this is hilarious to me because I went out and I bought a Strat. I had a little like acoustic Yamaha like that I was banging around on. But I'm like, okay, I'm gonna dive in. I want to know why. It drives me crazy. Like, why does this work? And it's too funny. But your comment about guitar players who play all over the neck. It's like, wait, I was so. So I discovered.
You don't have to, by the way. But if you look at Johnny Ramone, and you see that, like, you know, it's like he's up here, but it's like, but it's very simple, but it's also beautiful. And you know, I have a great Clash story. Did I ever tell you this? I don't know because we don't know each other that well. I had Mick Jones on Red Eye.
No, you didn't.
So he was in a band called Carbon Silicon with Tony James, who's the bass player from Generation X.
Gotcha.
And, you know, they both had tried out for The Damned. If you watch The Damned documentary that's on Amazon Prime right now, I had no idea. So anyway, I had them on because I was and I had great stories because I became friends with Mick Jones, who I idolized. So
yeah.
They come on and they're on Red Eye, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm like out of this. And we decided, I go, so do you want to go drinking? And he goes, yeah, that would be great. I'd love to go drinking. And so we go and we're walking to Langan's, which is the same place that I got wasted with Johnny Rotten about, I don't know, the 3 or 4 years before. And I'm walking with Mick Jones, and I go, so how are things going? He's like, you know, Greg, I don't know. It's been such a long time since I've really played, and I just don't have the confidence. And I'm like going, dude, you're Mick Jones! Mick Jones! What are you talking about? And not Mick Jones from Foreigner. Mick Jones from The Clash!
It's yeah.
Like he was like, he was one of those guys that was made greater by being in a band. And when he left, but then Big Audio Dynamite was pretty good, but he was like,
great.
he had like, walked away and like, he needed a great riffage. He needed some kind of structure for it. It was interesting. So him and Tony James, who it was also, I mean, Gen X was amazing. And we all went to a bar and we got loaded. And then when I had written a book that had about a year earlier on England called The Lessons from the Land of Pork Scratchings. And it finally came out. So I flew to London to do a book signing thing. And I threw a party at this pub. And I ended up going to the Westway where Mick Jones, oh, so amazing. Mick Jones, Glenn Matlock, who's the drummer, Paul Cook from the Sex Pistols. So they're all playing. They're all playing, and I'm there with Elena. And you might, my wife, it may still be on YouTube. And I'm standing there, and it's all filmed and it's Carbon Silicon under the Westway. And me and Elena are there, and Mick Jones is like looking at my wife, and he goes, "This song's for you. It's for Fox News." He goes, "It's for Fox News." He does a song called The News, which you can find by Carbon Silicon. It's a great band. Sounds like The Clash. There's a song called The News. It's for Greg and Elena. I'm like going, this is amazing. If my 12-year-old or 13-year-old self had seen Mick Jones dedicating a song, I think he liked Elena. I think he liked my wife because she was cute. But he was such a sweetheart. And so we ended up drinking in that bar, and it was such an unusual mix of people. Obviously Glenn Matlock had written a lot of the Sex Pistols stuff, and Paul Cook was the drummer. But there's also the dude there who had sang the song for the Sopranos, you know, "Woke up this morning, bought myself a gun." That dude.
Yeah.
Alabama 3. Band's called Alabama 3. So he was there because he was singing. They did a song. In fact, they did that song, but I think they did it the next night. But then it was just weird. You had all these really amazing people, like from the Buzzcocks. And it was all the guys who are now in their 50s and 60s. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, holy shit. Thank God they don't know that I work for Fox News. But they didn't, you know, it was great. So there, I went on a long tangent.
No, it's a good one. It's a great one. Those are I'm so insanely jealous right now. Like that's the dream, hanging out with Mick Jones.
But here's the thing: all the people that you like have more in common with you than the people who like them. So, for example, if you see any interview with Johnny Rotten, he is us.
Yeah,
he's not Antifa, and it is hilarious when you see like left-wing Antifa types talk to him, and he's like, get out of my face. You're not a punk. You're nothing. You're pathetic. he's got more in common with us. And if you ever talk to him, I mean, I did that podcast with him about a month ago, right before the election.
I didn't know this. What's this other podcast?
I do a thing called, what's it called? I do a podcast called The One. And I had him on, and it's called The One. I'm the One. It's
I thought Johnny Rotten had a pod. He probably does have a podcast.
No, but you know what? So he's very pro Trump, and he's like, he said that he believes that Trump needs to be elected. Trump's the most in his mind. Trump, he called. You know what he called Donald Trump? Johnny Rotten.
He wait, say that again. Say that again. Who?
He called Donald Trump Donnie Rotten.
That's outstanding.
He believes that Trump is the epitome of the spirit of punk. And I wrote about this, by the way, I wrote about this a couple of years ago about the nature of punk rock and conservatism and how, and he was explaining it to me that, like, you have to understand that there was no left wing, there was no like leftism with punk. It's all bullshit. And it was like, and you start thinking about like, well, Johnny Ramone, when he was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, said, God bless George Bush when he got up there.
Yeah.
And we were sort of like, holy crap. And there's all, Michael, I could tell you people that you would be shocked are on our side. But I can't tell you because they don't want to be, they can't afford, they would lose their friends and livelihood. There's a guy that if I told you was a avid Trump supporter and devastated over Trump losing, if I told you who it was, it would blow your mind. But I can't tell you because it would also, he would lose everything.
Yes.
And by the way, edgy punk rockers, 7-8 of them. Dude, I wish I could tell you. I'm going to tell you a few of them because a few of them have. The chick from Royal Trucks, who I love. I can't think of her name now, but she's in Black Bananas with the red eye. She's a libertarian. Exene Cervenka.
Yeah.
She's like a libertarian. Billy Zoom from X used to do Red Eye. Joe Escalante from the Vandals. A lot of these people are, they're not political. They're just smart.
There you go. There you go. And I tell you, I could play the same kind of thing on the Hollywood side of it. I know too many people in Hollywood who are like, on the down low, they're like, dude, he's the man. Right. I love him, blah, 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 blah. But you just can't take that risk because you'll lose everything. You'll lose everything.
Ready to stand out? Army ROTC prepares you not only as a college student, but as a strong leader, allowing you to earn the rank of second lieutenant. You will be eligible for full tuition merit-based scholarships and develop leadership skills essential for your future. Start strong and enhance your college experience. Visit your campus Army ROTC representative today. To find out how you can earn up to a full tuition scholarship, visit goarmy.com/podcast to locate your closest ROTC program today. Army officers inspire strength in others. Paid for by the United States Army.
This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I like that guy. I like him a lot. He's a good, you know what it is? Good people. Good people. You know what? The show must go on, though. We're going to continue on. I promised you guys election talk. Here we go. Okay, so we got to get into the election of it all. Because there's things that I'm just not hearing about. And now, and you're probably more dialed into this stuff than I am. There, Gimlet. But you know what I never hear about in the news and in the media? You never hear anything about the Dominion voting machines. You never hear anything about that. You hear, and I didn't hear much about the broken pipe. I didn't hear much about the suitcases. And that video got fact-checked quite a bit. You know the one I'm talking about, the one down in Georgia, where the people roll out the suitcases from underneath the table. And then I guess you got some election official from Georgia going, no, that was on the up and up. That was totally, that's fine. That's fine. And it's just so weird when you watch the video and you're like, well, those people are all gone. who's left, where did those suitcases come from, what's in there, and all that. That one was never explained to me at all. Here's all you hear about. You see a lot of the people who go, you know, I'm from Michigan and I was not allowed to observe. They kept me too far away. You practically needed binoculars. And then you hear a lot about there was dead people voting. And then you have the fact check. No, those weren't dead people. Those were, you know, the sons and grandchildren of dead people. Yes, they got mail-in ballots because the names matched, but it wasn't for the dead person. They explain all that away. But I keep seeing the tweets from these so-called, you know, software people who were like, I looked into the Dominion software, blah, blah, blah. They have this in there and they shouldn't have had it and they should have this and they don't have that and they did this and here's the algorithm and it doesn't exist. No one other than Twitter, and in certain accounts, if you're lucky enough to follow them, they're not talking about that stuff. And I wonder, has all that been discounted? Is that all just a bunch of hooey?
Okay, so there's one set of numbers out there that I have very good reason to believe are accurate.
Okay.
And those are the ones that say like 66,000 people under the age of 18 voted, this many dead people, this many who have moved. That comes from a data analyst that has been doing this kind of data for the Secretary of State for a very long time for both Republican and Democrat administrations. So yeah. He's kind of a neutral party. He just does the data.
Yes.
And he's very good at it. So those numbers I trust, and that's probably the most interesting part of the lawsuit generally. You know, I'll be honest. Colonel Alan West, who is now the head of the Texas Georgia GOP, put forth a statement after the Supreme Court refused to hear the case out of Texas.
Yeah.
And basically said, you know, kind of stunning that the court would not hear a case where they have original jurisdiction when 17 or 20 states had signed up. So it's time that these states kind of get together and, you know, have some kind of compact that says, yeah, we're going to like support and defend, you know, Republican values, et cetera, together. And I think that absolutely has to happen. I think when Joe Biden decides to do executive action on guns, those 20 states just go, yeah, we're not doing that.
Well, that's one thing. And I'm totally for states' rights and people showing some muscle. And you got to show some muscle and establish your sovereignty, I guess is the word, sovereignty, immediately. I also think, I just want to get back to this whole election thing, like, because I feel like I'm Joe Average, you know, I'm Joe Average who, you know, tries to watch a lot of stuff and hopefully I still have an open mind and I want to learn, you know, hopefully I'm still inquisitive, but like somebody's got to put this Dominion voting machine thing to rest either way. Like, I guess, and I retweeted it. I'll go back and find the tweet as I speak, but they did an audit of, and I want to make sure I get this right. Ha ha. I just opened up my Twitter. I lost another 10 people. Someone did an audit of the Dominion voting machines in Michigan, and they won't let people know what they found, which seems like a real big problem. Yeah. Michigan's attorney general and I guess the courts in Michigan's are hiding the audit of the Dominion voting machine. So why are we doing audits? Like, and here's the thing that I can totally see. And this is kind of tinfoil hat, but like, remember when the whole Obamacare and the mandate came up to the Supreme Court? And then Justice Roberts was like, well, here's what I feel like they intended. He wasn't going off the letter of the law and the way it was on the page. He's like, well, here's what I think they intended. I think they meant to do well. And there was emotion in that. So that's where the seed gets planted for me. I can legitimately see a world where they look at these Dominion voting machines and something is on the up and up, and they say, this can never get out. This can just never get out. We can't let the public know that this happened. And it's better for America as a nation, you know, I'm talking about a select few group of people that just make the decision. They go, listen, it's healthier for our nation if people have faith in the elections, so we just got to let this one go. We can't overturn this one because then people will lose all faith in all institutions, yada, yada, yada. That's what I don't like. That's what has me concerned. The Dominion voting machine thing has not been – someone needs to really walk me through that. Tell me. Let me know. Explain it. They weren't on the internet. They weren't. They didn't go anywhere. That information never went. You can't change votes. What was up with those USB drives? What did that chick, what was she palming? What was she handing off? Why is she the same woman who's in this other video? So, like, seriously, there's too much. It just looks too shady. And I can, on one hand, I can kind of see where, you know, the media convinces 80 million people, hey, you got a ballot sitting right there. Just fill it out, send it in. You got it. Fill it out, send it in. Fill it out, send it in. But there's also a part of me that's like, this, it just looks shady. It just looks so shady. And I cannot.
A lot of it does look shady, but did you see the Zuckerberg money?
There's tons of these, but mm-hmm. walk me through the Zuckerberg money.
So Mark Zuckerberg's wife gave $350 million to something. I believe the name of the organization is Civic Life and Technology Center or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a 501c3 and it's supposed to be nonpartisan. Well, they gave millions of dollars to particular county election boards, mostly in Biden heavy districts, and then told those election officials they had to do certain things to get that money. Like, you know, certain ad campaigns and increase your number of polling places and all this other stuff. And how you can tell it worked is what happened in Georgia and Michigan. 'Cause we had Senate races in addition to the race for president, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you looked at David Perdue, he was trending above 50% almost till the bitter end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flooding people who do not typically vote in Fulton County through mail-in voting and other stuff, right? Other activities overwhelmed the rest of the state. I mean, I think they said in Fulton County alone, this turnout, the vote thing got like something close to 60,000 additional voters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and there were a couple of those. I think they did it in Gwinnett and a couple other ones too. So it only affects statewide races. So this explains why Democrats didn't get gains in the House, because the investments weren't made in those districts, right? And the Democrats were going to win Fulton County anyway in the House.
Mm-hmm.
But it affects statewide races. This is why John James lost, and this is why David Perdue didn't hit over 50%. It was a concentrated get-out-the-vote effort that included things like drop boxes in Fulton County. That's one big reason. I'm not saying there was no fraud, and the data analyst has come up with like about 100,000 votes that are garbage, assuming the voter file is the correct voter file and everything else. So yes, that needs to be addressed too. But the other thing that needs to be addressed is the state of Georgia and any other state that cares about the integrity of their elections needs to say election offices are funded by the taxpayer. Outside groups do not get to fund them.
It's one of those things. it's one of those things that's so incredibly frustrating, because I don't know what Nancy Pelosi put in that relief bill, you know, that first mm-hmm. stimulus package, because I guess that's where a lot of this was born. Excuse me. And it might be, I didn't realize that you have something that checks the signatures and to make sure they match, and they have to match within a certain parameter. And it used to be, it has to be like, I could be wrong. You guys don't quote me on this. It has to be like a 40% match. It has to be close enough for Jazz, you know, 40% match. Mm-hmm. Maybe the person was having a stroke when they signed their ballot. But then I guess they, and this is probably legal because it was probably part of the stimulus package or whatever, but they like dialed that down to be like, it doesn't even have to match. It just has to be close enough. Like
that was actually a consent agreement with the execrable Stacey Abrams to get her to drop a lawsuit. So our Secretary of State decided to run elections in a way that violate the state law passed by my legislature, which is what Texas was alleging. I mean, this actually happened.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court just decided that Texas didn't have standing. So this is something that the voters in Georgia are going to have to fix. Right. And we're either going to fix it through political pressure or we're going to fix it at the ballot box.
Well,
any number of Republican aligned groups that are getting ready to find somebody to primary Brian Kemp if he doesn't fix this.
It's going to be almost impossible to fix. It's almost going to be impossible because here's what I can already see it coming. I can already see it coming. Somebody on the right goes, listen, we need the signatures to match. We have to protect the integrity of the election. And then the left will go, why don't they want you to vote? They want to stop people from voting. All we want to do is have mail-in ballots and have everybody's vote count. But this Republican, this demon Nazi white supremacist is going to try to stop it. They want to I can see the ads. I can.
That only works in the 13 states. That's only even a consideration in the former Confederacy. That's why my Secretary of State made an agreement with Stacey Abrams so she'd just shut up about it. We have to stop being scared like that because that's not even remotely true. The percentage of African Americans who vote in the state of Georgia increased every single year Brian Kemp was Secretary of State.
Yeah.
So it's a garbage thing and we have to stop being scared of it. Our elections are going to be secure or they're not.
I just had a moment of clarity. The best defense is a good offense. And that's what it boils down to. We've been right this whole time with what we're trying to do with LoftusParty.com and the videos on YouTube and the podcast here. We just need more people. We just need more people to wake up and to abide by the Constitution and the rule of law and all that stuff. It is a popularity contest because it's like, it's seriously, and the metaphor, it's like the government and everything is so reactionary. And I'm going to make a horrible analogy here. So buckle up, but it's like how we fight terrorism. You know, it's like, okay, so the terrorist, some guy brings in he's got a bomb in his shoe. He's got a bomb in his shoe and he tried to light it and he failed. So, okay, so nobody, we're not allowed to wear shoes. You got to take your shoes off. Everybody take your shoes off to go through security. And then like, uh-oh, they changed their tactics. Now they're trying to bring in something in sports bottles. They got something they're going to put in sports bottles. So listen, okay, so we're not allowed to bring more than 3 ounces of this, that, and the other thing. Okay, so that's, it's all reactionary. It's all reactionary, which is not going to work because it's death by a thousand cuts. They'll do something else. They'll figure out another way. And it's like with the left and like this whole time, like when Obama got out, he didn't stop. He didn't stop. He's still an incredibly successful community organizer. And he had Eric Holder running around from state to state. Okay, how do we make things better here? How do we redistrict that? Okay, we got to sue these people to get that. There's always like a ton of lawsuits going on. And it's just ding, 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 just death. It's like death by a thousand cuts. And until we can have people to push back and do like a legitimate pushback, I don't know where we are.
4 out of 5 voters want voter ID. 80% of Americans want voter ID. By polling. You know, it's kind of, it's kind of always amazing, like that statistic. And then you have 70% of Black and Hispanic Americans support school choice, but they keep voting for the party that won't give it to them.
How
80%
bad?
Of Americans want voter ID, and they keep voting for the party that won't give it to them.
I'm looking at Venezuela like the canary in the coal mine. I really am. Like, the people voted for that. The people of Venezuela is like, that sounds like a good deal. And then they did it. And then that dude died. And then another guy came in and it slides. It slides so fast. And I guess this is a gloom and doom podcast, but like, I'm watching Elon Musk saying, all right, I'm out. I'm leaving California. I'm going to Texas. Oracle just said, all right, we're out. We're going to Texas. Hewlett Packard says, all right, we're out, California. We're going to Texas. Apple. All of those employees are going to go too. It's like Texas, the success of Texas will be their undoing. It's a wonderful thing to watch, the rats leave the sinking ship, but they're still rats and they're just going to start chewing the wiring on Texas. And if you look like if Arizona was legit and all that stuff, it's locusts and they will go and they'll turn. I don't want to be gloom and doom.
And that's why, like, this is what frustrates me beyond all like reasonable. It makes me want to scream because I'm watching it happen in my own state. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have 2 Senate runoffs. The one thing you should have learned from Donald Trump, as boorish and inarticulate as he could be, okay?
Well, you want to talk smack about the Donald like that? Yeah, go ahead.
He could make the emotional argument.
Yes.
Even if it was plain spoken. So I've got 2 Senate runoff races in the state of Georgia, and the slogan is save the majority. That's a political slogan. That's not an emotional slogan, and it doesn't mean shit to most of the people of Georgia, whether Mitch McConnell remains majority leader or not. Do you know what matters?
Votes.
No, what matters is, what do you mean my church would lose our tax-exempt status if we don't, like, buy into the leftist social justice thing on LGBTQ? Issues. That's in the Equality Act. Okay. What do you mean my daughter's going to have to play sports against a biological boy? That's in the Equality Act.
How do you put that into one little ad? How do you do that? What's your pitch?
Those are things you could turn into emotional sound bites so fast.
Yeah.
About keeping girls safe, about like all that stuff. You can make those, you know, the Tax Cuts and Job Act, what it means for, you can interview a small business owner and say, if I lose these tax cuts, I'm going to have to lay off 20% of my workforce. I've been talking to those guys. They understand it, but you have to put what are the policies that are going to be passed if John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock are elected? Some of them have already been passed by the House. So they just require going to the Senate. And if you think Joe Biden is going to not sign anything that's gone through the House and the Senate, stop doing cocaine, because that's just never going to happen.
Well, I'm trying to seriously pitch, like come up with like a different motto. Like, what could they use? It's like, you know, it was like the title of our last podcast, you know, Save Georgia, Save the World. Save Georgia, save America. Yeah, vote for common sense. You know, vote in your own. Yeah, vote to save yourself.
That's the other. That's like, as we're building this group that I'm working on, you know, in Georgia, that I hope other people are going to pick up in other states. The other law I want passed is if you can't vote in an election, you can't donate to that candidate.
We're going to get in the weeds of like election finance. And that's, it's once again, it's like something that desperately needs cleaned up, and we need people working on that full time.
It's like even simpler than that for me. I don't need a bunch of Hollywood folks who have voted for policies and promote policies consistently that have driven the state of Florida into the ground sufficient to make Elon Musk move, right? Throwing millions of dollars behind Warnock and Ossoff because they think they have, they should have some kind of influence over voters in the state of Georgia. That just offends me.
The whole thing offends me. There's so much offense going on right now. It's hard to wrap your brain around. And I just keep coming back to the Obama quote that I quote all the time. Whoever gets the most votes gets to do what they want. Whoever gets the most votes gets to do what they want. We need the most votes. We need more people. We need more people. And so for our listeners out there, you know, because it always comes out, what can I do? What can I do? Tell people about this show. Tell people about theloftistparty.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like it. Share the stuff. Step one is getting more people and getting a bigger audience to convince people you're not alone. You're not a bad person. You're not a Nazi. You're not a racist. You voted for Trump for a very, very, very good reason. And none of those reasons were imaginary. None of it was made up. None of it was just some secret pact to get rid of people who don't look like you. We all know that. The Trump agenda, the reason it works so well is because that's what we wanted. That's what we wanted. So that's what we're doing. I feel like I've ripped people off for 2 weeks in a row. We're gonna talk more politics. We're gonna talk a little bit of Mandalorian, a little bit of Disney Plus. But it's gonna be a fun segment. Do yourself a favor. If you're not on the Patreon yet, get over there. It's not my. I don't listen. Here's the thing. I'm conflicted about the extra segment on Patreon. We've got to listen to me, Gimlet. Next week, we've got to put some more like geek culture stuff because I'm passionate about this stuff, and I feel like if you were subscribing to the podcast, you should get that as well. It can't all just be politics. I come back to this. This is my quote of me. Like, what is it you want? If we got everything we wanted in politics, what would you do then? That's another big question that you should always ask yourself. Like, some people I think are just in love with the fight. They're just in love with the fight. And if it's a noble fight, yay, that's hooray. But if we got everything we wanted, what would you do then? Would you be an artist? Would you open up a coffee shop? What's your passion? And I want to talk about that in future shows as well. And how can we help? How can we help do that? And I'm glad we're putting this on the regular podcast. And then we're going to switch over to the Patreon segment. One of the things that I realized over the summer when, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, the growth of the Facebook page was just, it was really, really going fast. And I was like, and I'm slow. I'm always slow. If you guys have hints and tips and tricks, always leave a message, leave a comment, let me know. But it occurred to me, my slow-witted, dull brain, I'm like, wow, we got 33,000 people on Facebook. We've got a reach of 5 million. If I had a cause and asked everybody just for like a buck, and all 33,000 people did it, that's $33,000. And that's not to mention if they shared the thing, oh my God, we could raise a lot of money and do a lot of good. And so the first thing that occurred to me, because the whole police thing was going on, I'm like, well, let's do something nice for the cops. So we did the fundraiser on GoFundMe, and every penny went to doing something nice for these men and women that risk their lives for us every day to do their thing. And it was great. We did two precincts, the 7-0 and the 7-4 in Brooklyn, and all shifts. Didn't have to worry about a meal that day, just as a little thank you. So then it occurred to me, like, I don't want to do it all the time, but, like, I'd love it if there was a thing, and I don't have the manpower, and I'm stretched pretty thin right now, but it's something that I am going to come back to, and as people help out, and we encourage you all to participate. But, like, there was a dairy farm during the beginning of lockdown. Hey, if you could mention this on your live stream, get us a few more orders, we'd really appreciate it. And I did that. But we could really, if we can get these restrictions off us on Facebook and everything, we could reach a lot of people, and we could help people out with small businesses. We could, I don't want to be a bank, I don't want to be a lending operation, but if somebody's like, holy crap, especially now, my restaurant's going to go out of, I gotta pay the electric. I just got to pay the electric. It's like $800, blah, 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 blah. I'd love to be able to take care of that. I'd love to be able to do it year round. I want to help people out, and good people have to stand up, and we have to do good things, and we have to encourage others to join us. That's my thinking. That's my thought. That's why I'm trying to grow this thing. That's what I'm doing here. Every week. That's why I'm doing the videos twice a week, and I want to have some fun while we do it. For the love of God, we got to get people fighting. We got to get people on our side. We got to have so many people on our side that there's people fighting, there's people doing lawsuits, there's people organizing rallies. We're raising money. We're helping out these people. We're having a blast. We're having giant Loftus party barbecues. We could be living the life. And helping save the country while we do it. Okay, we are going. That was a little preachy. We're gonna zip over to Patreon. More election talk. More stuff about the DC rally. Some Hanukkah thoughts. Some Christmas thoughts. Mandalorian, Disney Plus. What's Trump gonna do? Stuff like that. So swing on over and join us on Patreon.